If you continued to experience Hashimoto's related symptoms like digestive issues, bloating, constipation, fatigue, and weight gain while taking thyroid medication, then this episode is totally for you. Learn why and how diet can help decrease all these symptoms when used in conjunction with medication.
Hello, thank you for listening to Thyroid Hair Loss Connection podcast, a science-based, honest, candid conversation about how your thyroid affects your hair. You will learn practical solutions to hair growth, healing your thyroid, and balancing hormones with holistic nutrition approach and the latest treatments. Your hosts, me, Natalia Sanzo, a registered dietitian, aka Nashville thyroid expert, and Kimberly Vaughn, a board-certified trichologist, hair loss specialist, and coach. To stay up to date on the latest topics, make sure to subscribe to our channel. We also cannot do this without you. Send us a question to the link below and tune in each week for the answers. Now, let's head to the show. Kimberly, you and I, we both have Hashimoto's thyroiditis, right? Just like many of the listeners that tune in to Thyroid Hair Loss Connection podcast. And we all know that conventional medicine world considers thyroid medication a magic pill, right? That fixes everything.
Oh, yeah, for sure, right?
Yeah, the pill is expected, to address all our hypothyroidism-related symptoms, and we are often told that we should begin feeling better in a few weeks, right? And once on this prescription-only path, we will likely have limited follow-ups that are focused primarily on the medication's effectiveness and improving our TSH levels. And TSH levels may improve, but our condition can worsen, right? As Hashimoto's is a progressive disease, and our immune system will likely to continue to attack the thyroid if the underlying root cause of the condition is left unaddressed. And, you know, Kimberly, many of my clients have gone to conventional doctors to seek help for specific symptoms like brain fog and weight gain, only to be given limited recommendations such as, well, perhaps you're getting older, right? Or the often very hurtful exercise more and eat less, which of course can make things worse if you have impaired thyroid function, right? And adrenal fatigue.
Oh, completely. And I think the other issue is that, you know, and sometimes I feel like I sound like a broken record, so I hope the listeners don't think this way, but I don't understand how someone can follow and treat a progressive disease when they look at labs or look at levels once a year. Mm-hmm. I just have a hard time understanding that. And I think, you know, we've stressed to our listeners so many times to take control of your medication when it comes to how you're feeling, right? Mm-hmm. Go back to your provider and say, I'm not feeling as well as I should. And if the provider's not giving you solid, good answers and that's helping, then maybe it's time to look elsewhere. I don't know. And I'm sure there's wonderful providers out there, but it's just frustrating when we see patients that have been experiencing these issues year after year after year, and they still don't have an answer.
Absolutely. Well, the reason we're all treated the same way as protocol, because that's the only way they can make money, right? The hospitals and insurance companies. But today we're talking about how you can improve your symptoms naturally, right? Through nourishing your body and eating the right foods. And, you know, Kimberly, how you mentioned the symptoms, how they don't improve, right? Because if we continue to be symptomatic, chances are we will be referred to other specialists. Well, maybe I shouldn't even say it like in the quotation, but for additional medications to target symptoms, like, you know, a lot of my clients are getting referred to gastroenterologists for chronic bloating and constipation, OBGYN for heavy and painful periods, or even psychiatrists for depression. So nobody's addressing the root cause. Nobody's talking about, hey, you know, you have chronic bloating and constipation, why don't you go see a registered dietitian? You know, you never see those words coming out of our conventional medical doctors. Yeah. So listeners, you already kind of gathered that the conventional approach is about managing the disease rather than offering the support and tools needed to help you fully recover. Now, before we talk about how diet can heal your Hashimoto's, I do want to say that medication is very important in our life, the thyroid medication, because, you know, many of my clients tell me that they want to get off their thyroid medication because they want to treat their condition naturally. I think it's important to clarify that thyroid medications are not in the same family as harsh drugs and immunosuppressants used to treat other autoimmune conditions. Thyroid medications are a supplemental dose or replacement for a hormone that is necessary for you to live. So if your thyroid is too damaged from Hashimoto's, you may need supplemental thyroid hormone for the rest of your life. My thyroid, for example, is not functioning at all based on the recent ultrasound I did. So I certainly do need to take medication. So you may be asking the million-dollar question. Why do I need to follow a Hashimoto's healing diet if I have to take thyroid medications for the rest of my life and my conditions cannot be reversed, right? So it's true that we can't cure Hashimoto's, but we can definitely reverse it or stall the progression. Reversing Hashimoto's means that your immune system is no longer attacking your thyroid, your antibodies are low, and most importantly, you're symptoms-free. That is where diet and nourishment comes in. Since Hashimoto's is not a thyroid disease, it's an immune system disease, which affects many organs and systems in our body. I will discuss exactly what Hashimoto does to your body and how diet and nourishment can help. Please keep in mind that the proposed science-based dietary changes will be directed towards the autoimmune nature of Hashimoto's and not the actual thyroid gland. So first up, studies show that gut dysbiosis, the imbalance of good and bad bacteria, is very common in people with Hashimoto's, which can influence the availability of essential micronutrients for the thyroid gland and the conversion of T4 to T3 hormone. So eating foods high in probiotics and prebiotics and taking high quality supplements is very beneficial. Next one, Hashimoto causes nutrient deficiencies, which we correct with what? A balanced diet, right? There's no way around it. And of course, supplements have place on Hashimoto's healing journey, but we always want to change your diet first before taking handfuls of supplements. Then, high TPO antibodies are indicators of oxidative stress and inflammation. We need to supplement with vitamin D, selenium, and inositol in the correct dosage, I might add. So we need to get the proper blood work done to address that. And similarly, high TPO antibodies levels is a strong indicator of elevated fasting insulin, right? Again, following a diet consisting of low glycemic foods is imperative. And listeners, we've done so many podcasts addressing blood sugar, Hashimoto's, and how even high blood sugar relates to hair loss. So make sure you scroll through the list of all the episodes that we've done and listen to the one that has anything related to blood sugar. And guys, I want to mention that even though extremely high TPO antibody levels do not indicate how aggressive your thyroid disease is, we know that the lower the TPO antibodies, the milder the disease and symptoms we experience.
Natalia, so autoimmune diseases boy, are something that we deal with on a daily basis. I was just having a heart-to-heart discussion with someone yesterday with autoimmune alopecia areata, and we have really corrected her diet, and she's just feeling so amazing. We're seeing some hair growth in areas where she hasn't seen it in a while. However, there's other areas that are still shedding and falling out. So it's an ongoing battle, no different, right, than our Hashimoto's conditions. But when someone has and has been diagnosed with Hashimoto's, does that mean that their autoimmune cases and other occurrences could fall in shortly after that? Is it something they should consider? Is it something they should look into?
Absolutely. Having Hashimoto's diagnosis puts you at higher risk for developing other autoimmune disorders. And the people I see that have Hashimoto's, very often they develop alopecia areata, or they have alopecia areata, which is, right, it's autoimmune hair loss. They have that diagnosis first, and then they develop Hashimoto's. So it is definitely a two-way street. But in addition, people with Hashimoto's are at higher risk for developing other autoimmune disease like Addison, Graves' disease, type 1 diabetes, lupus, pernicious anemia, rheumatoid arthritis, and vitiligo, which is a disorder that produces white patches on the skin due to attacks on the skin pigment cells. And finally, Hashimoto's has been associated with diabetes, right?
So how does that happen? I mean, diabetes first, Hashimoto's second, Hashimoto's first, diabetes second?
It's a two-way street. One diagnosis, you know, comes before another. But basically, when you have Hashimoto's, you're at an increased risk for developing diabetes, because Hashimoto's may decrease glucose absorption, leading to accumulation of sugar in the blood. In turn, this accumulation of sugar causes more insulin to be produced to utilize that excess sugar, glucose, eventually leading to insulin resistance and type 2 diabetes. So managing blood sugar through diet, guys, is essential. There is no other way you can fix your blood sugar unless you go right on medication like metformin or something. But that's our conventional medicine. There are pros at it. So diet, low glycemic index foods, high fiber, it's very essential in preventing insulin resistance.
Mm-hmm, for sure. And I don't know how many individuals that we sit across the table from, and that diet doesn't come up in the beginning, right? But then as we continue on, it then is always an underlying problem. Always.
Absolutely. And, you know, since we're talking about insulin resistance, mm-hmm. it is causing chronic inflammation, right? Because you mm-hmm. have just so much excess sugar in the body. And it raises what we called pro-inflammatory and anti-inflammatory cytokines. So how do we address inflammation? Through eating an anti-inflammatory diet, right? High in antioxidants. Again, diet plays a huge role. Okay, next one is that lactose intolerance is very common, right, in people with Hashimoto's. So carefully planned lactose-free, or in some cases, dairy-free diet may be recommended, right? What's more, chronic constipation is the most common symptoms that I hear from my clients. And there is actually medical nutrition therapy created just for treating constipation. That's how complex this issue is. It's not just enough to take chia seeds or fiber supplements and stuff. There's more to it than just elimination of your stool. You have to treat the underlying cause. And, you know, one of the most exciting things, I think, is that multiple studies show that a gluten-free diet reduced reduces thyroid antibody levels while improving thyroid functions and vitamin D levels compared with the control group. So again, guys, I hope I'm getting this message across that diet is imperative in treating Hashimoto's, even though, conventional medicine treats it just with this magic pill, you know. And I also want to mention that AIP diet, autoimmune paleo diet, may lead to significant improvement in quality of life and significantly decreased levels of inflammatory markers like our C-reactive protein in people with Hashimoto's. But as a registered dietitian, I want to warn you that this diet is way too restrictive, it's not sustainable, and may lead to many nutrient deficiencies. Guys, there are better ways to improve inflammation naturally through eating foods, through nourishing your body. And I'm naming all of them in today's episode, right? The anti-inflammatory diet, the low glycemic diet, and we actually just recorded an episode about stress relief. So that's another part of the puzzle with Hashimoto's. So
And Natalia, don't forget, you know, my favorite, the amino acid episode, that we talk about the importance of amino acids and how they reduce the inflammation in the system.
Absolutely. Absolutely. There are building blocks of our protein and our muscles, all our cells contain protein. So it's very important. Okay. Last thing I want to say is that following a diet that is low in added sugar and low in highly processed foods, but rich in gluten-free whole food and nutrient-dense food may help improve your health, manage weight, and reduce Hashimoto's related symptoms. Listeners, please remember that every person with Hashimoto's responds differently to treatment, which is why an individualized approach for this condition is so important. You know, in 6 years of me working with Hashimoto's clients, I've never seen people with the same set of symptoms and problems that could be treated with a protocol. We do not have a protocol. And Kimberly, I'm sure you do not have a protocol. There is never the same set. Everybody comes in, you know, yes, they may have the same diagnosis, alopecia areata, Hashimoto's, but then they have different underlying issues. Some may have a genetic mutation. Others have genetic predisposition for hair loss. Some people have nutrient deficiencies. Others don't, right? It's so complicated. So it's very important to work with an expert in the field.
Natalia, just as something to mention as well, as when we recorded the LDM, the low-dose minoxidil episode, we had people calling and videoing from everywhere. And they said, well, I would just like to go ahead and get started on the pill, right? You said it's safe. You said it's easy to take. Those are both true. But is it even going to work for you? So why pop another pill if it's not going to work? So, you know, we have to dive in deeply to really understand the nature and the cause of the problem. It's all about the root.
Absolutely. And personalized approach.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Okay, guys, I hope you're convinced that diet can improve your Hashimoto's related symptoms and put your autoimmune condition in remission. If you are convinced, then reach out to Kimberly and I, and we will be happy to explore possibilities of us working together, right? You can find our information in the podcast notes below. I think that's it for us today. Stay nourished, and we'll talk to you later.
And make it a great hair day. Bye-bye.